Hi, welcome back to my podcast. Hi,
Hi,
overstimulation. Welcome.
everybody. Hey,
Hi.
everybody. Nice
Hope
and
everyone.
brisk. Nice and brisk in Florida now in the 60s, sunny. Nice, nice.
Hope everyone's doing well. Day, evening, night, morning, wherever. Hope you're all doing well and having a good time. Today we have two specific topics we want to discuss. I'll go first because I think mine's a little bigger and may take more of the time. I'm going to start off with I sent you an email before the podcast and I said, look at the video. I didn't know if you were going to know what that was. So I was going to intro it here, but you seem to know what that video was when I sent it to you.
Beautiful.
So for those who I'm not going to put it up on the screen just because I don't want to get in case, well, technically it's not can't be copyrighted because it's not anyone's property, but it was a promotional video to showcase a new software called Sora, Sora, and it's part if you hear any clacking, I have a lozenge in, so apologies. It's part of OpenAI, which is the got the company behind ChatGPT. They made a text to video software. So you can go on, type in whatever you want within reason, right? I presume it's because it's still new. And it will create a high definition, high fidelity video that looks, in my opinion, scarily indistinguishable at times. At times. Because I saw a bunch of those videos, and some of them, there's some obvious things, or there's some things that feel off in sort of an uncanny valley aspect. But there's a lot of them that look too good. Too good. And I wanted to talk about it. So we've prior to Sora, there was already text to video AI softwares out there, but it looked like as if you took acid or mushrooms or something and experienced life. Everything's morphing into each other, and the spoon becomes the fork, which becomes the hand and becomes the spaghetti. And it ended up being way too much, right? It just didn't. Dude, it was there. The beginnings of it were there. That was last year. And I saw that stuff going, oh, yeah, we're probably like 5 years out, whatever. It's been a year. It has been a year. And the videos that have been coming out are scary. I think what. Let me, before I get into that, the thing that can be most concerning in the immediate future with this kind of content is any type of crime. Video is going to very, very, very quickly become muddled because now anyone can just type in a te using text and frame people. And just make fake videos, whether it's to cause fake panic, to put someone in jail who didn't actually do something. And how are we gonna know? How, like, when I say how are we gonna know, right? People, younger people, people who are in the AI industry will have their way, or people who are into visual media, right? Whether they do CGI or video work, they will probably be able to tell that it's fake. Because I saw a video someone used with Sora and they made a little monster in front of a candle. And when I first looked at it, I went, wow, this is like, I'm not a huge fan of the fact of AI because AI steals art from artists without their permission. But the video itself, I was like, oh, I can see this. Like, if this was licensed out, or if the artist who gave this their art was licensed to train the AI, okay. But I was looking at going, this is high fidelity. And then I saw someone who is a visual artist make a pass through it. And they pulled out all these small little tidbits. Like at this frame, you can see the eyeball sunken in and there's an empty space. At this frame, the lighting's not working. At this frame, he gets an extra pinky. And all things that I happen to miss because I'm not as well-versed and well-trained or because I wasn't looking for it. So there are still things to look for and be aware of right now, because it's not perfect. But my immediate concern and a trend I've been seeing on social media is people making jokes about this, being like, it's 2027 and I'm going to jail after of 28K high definition video of me committing a crime that I never actually committed is being presented to me at court, right? And it is a bit dystopian and fear-mongering if you take it super seriously, right? Because it is still humorous. But there is a level of validity to it because the video is not just great at doing things like plants or cars or vehicles. It's good at faces. It's good at people. One of the couple of the videos I think you saw in that clip was one with a cat on a bed with a guy. Mm-hmm. It was like, mm-hmm. It looked like a normal, almost like a vlog of a guy in bed with his cat. And the face was flawless. The body was flawless. The only thing to me in that video that wasn't was, I believe in that video, you can see the cat have an arm move and then another arm like moves right on top of it, which it morphed. Like that was the mess up. But they have multiple shots of people's faces. And I believe the first shot is a close up of someone's eye, right? Mm-hmm. That's intense detail, intense to get the micro expressions and the twitching in the eye. That's a big deal.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. You went to school and you know how to do mostly all of the facets to make a motion picture and to do streaming.
Yeah. Give or take.
Give or take. I've seen a couple of the small movies you've made. They were nice. And I just wonder how the people who are who graduated from taking the courses that you took, plus the ones that are taking them now, are they going to be given AI courses, or is AI going to replace what they've learned and they're not going to be needed anymore in the industry?
So what you just asked expands to way beyond the visual medium, because AI is not just art, right? There's other AI programs, which I was actually going to get into, but we can bring that up now. What you're asking is less so about artists and more about people. What do we do when AI starts taking over the mundane tasks, the jobs that thousands, if not millions of people have, as well as the creative ones? What do we do? Because right now there are, I don't know, I'm going to throw a number, hundreds of thousands of people who work in front of a computer and their job entails with emailing, calling, messaging, and doing Excel and Microsoft Word based stuff. And that's their entire job, is basically being a liaison as well as the middleman liaison as well as the organizer for basic information and data and so forth. That is some of the most basic and easiest forms of AI. That right there. It's simply just getting a model that can be used and understand at a frequent and consistent level. Because right now, if you try to have a verbal or text-based conversation with AI, it'll still have mess ups. It'll still have fuck ups. And so if you're working for a company, right, and you're like, let's say you work at a law firm or a hair salon, and someone calls up and wants to schedule an appointment or talk to someone, the AI needs to not be able to mess up. right? It needs to be coherent enough to
get. Are you going to get to answer my question, though, Peter?
I am.
Oh, okay.
By the AI is we are on, in my opinion, we are on the brink of a massive explosion in terms of society because of how AI is going and how quickly it is advancing. We are going to have to rethink how we exist in society, what it means to work, what it means to pay for things. Everything about society, in my opinion, is going to have to be looked at and changed. And to directly link that to what you were saying about artists, it's going to do a few things. One, it's not perfect right now. So if anything, some jobs may change, right? Certain editors or visual editors may no longer be making things from scratch. They may be having AI do the work, and then they go in and do the micro adjustments, right? So certain jobs in terms of the film or the visual medium may simply just switch. It may adapt to AI and adapt and adopt AI into their workflow. What this will also do, though, is not make it more, it'll make it more democratized in terms of allowing more people to make films or make forms of visual media, but it will also require a new level of creativity, because now that anyone can do it, anything can be made. And so now the concept of, you know, like the Titanic or Marvel's Avengers, right? Those are high production, high value films.
High cost,
right. That's what I'm saying. The production value, high, hundreds of millions of dollars can now, and the CGI behind it, right? Like some of the CGI shots of the Titanic, let alone Marvel, like the Titanic was decades ago, millions of dollars. Just to get like a shot of the boat. And now I can type it in and say, give me a shot of the Titanic. Give me an ultra wide shot of the Titanic where the camera swoops in slowly on it. And it'll probably do it. And it'll do it within a good enough reason where I can do that. And then I can pay some guy to just do micro adjustments to make sure that the small details are clear, right? So maybe one of the windows meshes into a guardrail, so they fix that. Or the people walking on the boat look more like sticks, so they flesh that out a little more. But 80% of the work's gone. So it is both giving access to this ability while also making it more difficult and requiring a new level of thought to make successful films, right? Or high production films, or films that hit major theaters, right? Things like that.
Can you see AI doing away with live actors creating their own actors and their own films in total?
So that's already been a thing. That's part of why the actors went on strike a few months ago. That was part of it. That mostly it was due to pay reasons, but additionally, maybe they didn't go on strike for the AI stuff. Maybe they just dealt with it. I don't remember, but that's already a problem. Already companies like Warner Brothers or whatever the major industries are, have and will continue to push to have background actors be AI. You sign a deal and you agree to have your face scanned, and they just use models, and they'll just use your face for forever as a background actor. Insane. Absolutely insane. And as an actor, as someone who is an actor, but as an actor in general, that completely nullifies an avenue for actors to become actors, because
it cuts costs.
Well, it cut cuts cost for the filmmakers.
Yeah.
But the problem is as an actor, that is one of already the few ways to work your way into an industry, right? It's already very, very, very hard to get even a speaking role on a TV show or a movie, let alone a big budget TV show or movie.
So let me ask you this question.
Just getting a background acting position is hard enough. And now if AI were to take all that, it's now even harder to, you now lose out on all those background actors. Think of like Walking Dead, right? All those zombies are background actors. How many hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, played those zombies, got paid for it? They got credit in that TV show. That's on their resume. And then they went on to do something else, or they bumped up from a zombie and they became one of the people at one of the hideouts, and they had a three-liner. And then
that was an AI? That
no.
was an AI, the zombie? No?
No, that's all people. That's all before AI. That's all before AI.
Getting back to my question, you're going to college now, or you just graduated from college in communications, acting, you know, different courses.
Entertainment based practices.
Right.
Yes.
Now, one of the things we always discussed in the past is that teachers are teaching the same thing route from year after year after year out of their books.
And they're quite outdated.
Do you think they're going to update and get into AI so that people who graduate can deal with it? Or is this AI not going to be involving, the making of pictures and communication going to be replaced by AI and computer people?
So I think a few things. I think the moneymakers, the suits, would love for everyone to be replaced with AI, because then they don't have to pay things and they can just pocket more money. They can continue to charge the, rather than like the idea of, oh, we don't have to charge this, so let's lower the price of films or let's lower the cost of things. No, no, no. Keep the cost, remove the fat off the meat, and then they get to pocket more money. That's what's going to happen. That's what they want, right? No business has ever said, hey, now, or I'm not going to say no business, but most of these major businesses would never find a way to cut costs and then lower the price of things. They will always keep the price the same because that's what people have been paying. So why give them something for cheaper? So to answer the question, I think a few things will happen. Schools will always lag behind because that's the education system. They are just always behind. Some colleges may make it, you know, ahead. They may start teaching AI soon. Some teachers may be on the ball because they're younger. But I think a lot of schools and education platforms will just be behind, and it'll take a couple years. And for all the kids who are trying to learn, they'll probably teach AI themselves, and if they don't, then they're behind. I think there's a lot of kids that are going to get pushed out, right? You're a lot of kids who are going to school for this are either going to get discouraged. Oh, you can't hear me? All right, we're back. Sorry, we had a malfunction. His AirPods died. Your question was, what are the kids going to do regarding AI? I said a couple things. One, they're going to, some of them, the education system will pick it up, but it'll most likely be years behind because that's just how our education system works. That's the first thing. Second thing, there are going to be a lot of kids that are not only going to feel discouraged, but they're going to be pushed out, right? They're going to go to school for this education. And because we don't have centralized education, this school who already adopted and adapted to AI, these kids are going to have knowledge in it that these kids won't. And so they're going to be behind the eight ball because their workflow is going to be 10 times faster. And I think from that point, it's going to take a couple of years for the general public to get and understand how to use AI and the next level of creative thought that has to come from it. Because again, right, like certain shots and certain ideas may become boring and null and void because visually we now have access to this level of visual capacity or creative flow in a way that may not have been possible or may not have been cheap enough. So now that it's cheap enough, we may experience an influx of creative ideas coming to the market. But with that, less people may be working on it. So now more people might become filmmakers, but there'll be less people on those teams because it'll be less about all this other stuff because AI will take care of that. So it's going to be, it's similar to social media, right? That's a good example. When social media became, when people realized that you can make a living off of social media, everyone wanted to do it. Everyone became, because it's easy. Why? Who the hell doesn't want to wake up, post a picture of your morning or a video of how you're doing in the morning, post a picture of your workout, what you had for breakfast, what you had for lunch, what you had for dinner, and where you're going with your friends that night, and then streaming and playing video games. And that's your daily routine, and you make money off of that? Of course, most people are going to want to do that. So of course, most people are going to try. Similar concept, right? It democratized this idea that easy living and fame can come to you in a, I say cheaper way, and I mean that in terms of cost, right? You don't have to spend 10 years bussing tables trying to become an actor as having years of work under your belt trying to get that one right moment. You can now just do a couple of dances on TikTok, and if you're pretty enough or if you get to the trend fast enough, you can get, you know how to manipulate or you know how to use that fame in the right way, you can make fame out of it. So...
Is it going to be expensive for an individual to get equipment to utilize AI?
Not at all. Most people can do it off of like a most of the A. Well, let me pause. Rewind. Right now, probably the highest ends like Sora, you probably need a PC, like a built PC, like I have. Right, call it like whatever. $1,500, like someone, not mine, but like you probably need something in ballpark of like a $1,200 to $1,500 PC minimum, or like a gaming laptop, right? Something with good specs that still ends up being $1,200 to $1,500 to participate at the highest level. But that's really with anything. For in terms of basic stuff, you can do it on your phone right now. You can Google AI photo generators and type in it, whatever you pick, an idea, text, and it'll produce it for you. Explicit or not, it'll produce it for you. Mm-hmm. And it takes 5 seconds. You know, obviously there's usually paywalls behind those things because the website needs to make money and because it costs that aspect costs. So yeah, but there's free ones out there. It's super, super low cost in terms of tech specs right now. The highest end obviously is always going to be the highest end. The thing that is currently a problem, shall we say, environmentally, is AI takes a lot of energy, a lot of electricity, like energy, to produce, to function, to do things, because it's still running on old, I'm using these terms for lack of a better word, it's running on old wattage, right? It's still running on a form of electricity that was meant to power a computer, like a PC, right, for 800 watts, but it's doing the work of 8 of these in a matter of seconds. So 8 of those put together, that's a lot of watts, right? And again, I'm using this more to conceptualize because I don't have the proper terms for it. But AI uses a lot of energy. And so as we make more AI tech out there, more AI programs and software and so forth, it is going to cost more energy. And that we need to make that energy, right? That has to, we have to produce that somehow. So unless we provide some form of a renewable energy source, like I believe a month or two ago, there was something about nuclear fusion being discussed from a lab. And I made a video about it on my TikTok, but nuclear fusion is a possible thing that we may be achieving in the next like 10 years. But energy cost is a big deal for AI because it takes a lot. And especially with how AI and how good AI is, we're not going to slow down. So something's going to collapse. Otherwise we need to make renewable energy to provide for the AI, because it is going to, the energy consumption that it has will have an environmental effect on, it will have an effect on the environment. I don't know why that was worded poorly. So,
okay.
But yeah, is it
going to make life easier for somebody like me, or will it not affect someone like me?
I think it depends, right? Like, I've spoken about the video aspect. There are a ton of things that AI is doing aside from taking art from artists and taking jobs from artists. It's being trained to identify cancer cells. It's being trained to make diagnoses on patients remotely. There's so many. Where did my thing go? I think I deleted it. Let me see if I can look it up real quick. Because I had a thing that I was looking up.
Now, do you consider AI while you're looking, when people put on these special glasses, and it takes them into fantasy sites? It's like they're inside the fantasy, living the story.
Oh, that's AR and VR.
Okay.
Those are different types of tech that can be complemented with AI. So AR is augmented reality. VR is virtual reality. AR augmented reality is like the new Apple Pro Vision X model $4,000 goggles and the new Meta ones that are coming out, where I can put them on and I can sit here at my desk, look at my desk, and then there's like a floating screen right here that I can like use Google for instead of a monitor. That's augmented reality. It works in tandem with the world around me. VR is a virtual reality. It's completely removed from this world. I would put the goggles on and now I'm on Mars. Or I'd put the goggles on and I'm in a movie or a video game that I played, right? Like COD Zombies. And physically I'm in my living room, but virtually I'm in a burnt down house and there's zombies surrounding me and I gotta fight them. That's VR. Where AI can be incorporated is how the software is used. You can have the zombies in the video game be powered by AI so that they don't just walk up to you and then get shot, right? They walk up or they dodge the bullets or they come at you at different speeds, right? You can use AI to make them more lifelike. You can use AI in your AR to recognize where your desk is, and it'll project a keyboard onto the desk versus if I'm standing up, it'll just keep it in the air, right? So you can use AI with these technologies combined.
Question? I have a question. It may not be what you're talking about, so you don't have to answer it. With people using virtual reality and the other reality, and with the advent of more and more people having access to marijuana and other drugs, do you think that this could create a problem where people can't get back to reality?
That's a good question. You mean like they go on a trip with these headphones, and then when they take them off, they like still think that they're in the world? Yeah, I think that can happen, but I think that already happens, right? Like, I think with certain, I don't think weed does that. Weed doesn't do anything like that for most people. Most people don't have hallucinogenic effects with weed. If we're talking hallucinogenics, mushrooms, acid, and those that things of that nature, yeah, I think that's a possibility. But I think, like I said, people already experience that, and those are more worst case scenarios. So if you were to do that now, I think it's on par with what we've already experienced in terms of the likelihood is we're not going to have this influx of people that are stuck in a mental virtual world because they tried VR and shrooms at the same time. No, I don't think so.
So basically, with my life past and AI developing, I assume that if I or any other person has enough money, they can create a character that is your wife and create a family that you're part of. And every morning you wake up, even though you might be by yourself, you can join this family for the whole day or for as long as you want,
In
correct?
theory, I think as the technology progresses, we can probably get further into that, right? Like with holograms, you can then incorporate the AI into holograms, and you know, it ends up being like what the hell is
Star
that
Trek.
movie? Star Trek, but it also can become like Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner with Ryan Gosling, right? He had his holographic girlfriend, and she would walk around the house and you interact with him in a similar way. I think that is a viable, realistic future that we can get to. Are we there now? No. Could you, in theory, do something similar or in that ballpark with like a VR headset? Maybe, but I don't think the programs have been developed yet.
Okay. Just asking.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Oh, the thing I wanted to cover just real quick about the fact that AI, yes, we've talked a lot about AI being with the entertainment side, but some of the science and medical backgrounds is, like I said, diagnosis and treatment. AI can streamline diagnoses, improve clinical outcomes, and provide data-driven clinical decision support to physicians and hospital staff. It also has data analysis and predictive benefits. So integrating AI into the healthcare ecosystem allows for automating tasks, analyzing big patient data sets, and delivering better healthcare faster at a lower cost, especially with things like right now, how there's so many people who are flooding into hospitals and how doctors are very much inundated right now. You can get physician support and collaboration. AI is not intended to replace physicians, but to empower the practice of medicine. It can address physician burnout by automating repetitive administrative tasks, allowing physicians to focus on patient care rather than like the health insurance side or dealing with minimal questions or basic scheduling or so forth. It can also have precision medicine and research, patient care and assistance. Like I said, there's a software out there that's being developed to identify cancer cells in people and predict it before they, I don't know if the right term is metastasize, but before they evolve into a more problematic cancerous cell. And that's
Yeah,
amazing.
that's
Okay,
metastasized.
good. So I used the right term. I knew it was in there. I wasn't sure if it was the right one because I haven't used it in a while, but like that's a really, really, really amazing thing. Or, when developing new medications, you can have AI run calculations at a rate and at a speed that humans or a computer software just may not have been able to do at that speed. Or you can use it in collaboration and say, and have the AI look at your data set and go, did I miss anything? Is there a calculation that I didn't do? And it can go, yeah, you didn't do this one. And then you realize that's the one that you needed, right? It can lower the cost, the time, and do amazing things for the sciences.
Yeah, doctors, scientists are all going to have to find the time to upgrade their knowledge to work with AI.
Well, yeah, that, or you end up with more jobs where you have a medical AI analyst working in tandem with a physician until we get to a time where the program can serve itself, right? Like right now, that's what we would need is an AI professional and a doctor working together, which is fine. But at a certain point in the future, when AI gets evolved enough, we can probably just use it by itself with the physician. And that's phenomenal. That's great. I think those are wonderful, wonderful things. As a creative and as an artist, I'm more focused on the creative side. So that side doesn't look as fun. Though I love science and I love inventions and progress, right? I love that idea. As a creative, it's not so fun. But nonetheless, like, there is still positives in the creative field that can come out of this. So long as everyone gets the proper licensing, right? Like I saw someone posit the idea of AI art is not a problem if the art that AI is being trained off of, the people's art that AI is training off of, those people are licensed, right? The same way that Marvel licenses out Spider-Man from Sony so that they can use it in their film. If AI wants to use that, all these artists' art to train and become a better artist for AI, pay them, license them. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Then it becomes fair and legal. Everything's been licensed. Everyone's getting paid. Cool. That's fair. I saw someone say that, and I was like, that's actually a very viable reason, a very viable path to take.
I just hope it doesn't do to the filmmaking and the acting industry what it did to the recording industry.
Yeah, I agree. I think those, you take the good with the bad, right? You got to mix it and mash it, and that's just how it is. There are positives. There are good things that can come from it, even in the art field. Like I said, a new level of creative concept has to come out of this. You have to think, because everyone's going to become filmmakers, the idea of what is and what makes a film will have to be taken to the next level. And that's also a cool thing to think of. So
anything's possible, because I remember when I was a kid, I used to see a chimpanzee throwing paint on a canvas and charging thousands of dollars. And people would say, wow, it's innovative. It's innovative. Well, I could see AI for your generation. I don't think I'll be around to see the really improvement, that'll be the exceptional improvement. But I think you're in for a big surprise.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think you'll be able to see some of it. I don't think you'll see the perfected form, but I don't think any of us will ever get to see the perfected form. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think I think you're already seeing some of it with AI video, you know. Yeah. So, but with that, I will happily transition to yours, because I that was a lot of info and
I could table mine.
No, go ahead. Unless you want to keep going on this, if you've got more questions or you want to keep talking, that's fine. But
if you want to keep talking, you can.
I recognize I went on a whole tangent here, and I know we sort of give and take. Some episodes you'll talk a lot, some I talk a lot. I get it, but this is a lot of information, so I'm more just like, I'm recognizing that it was a lot. So I'm more than happy.
Did we reach the break time yet?
You mean the midpoint?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. So we could end it here and I could table it, because, one thing doesn't have to do with the other.
That's fine. I mean, all right. So then fine. Next episode, that'll be the first thing we talk about then, unless you feel like you want to discuss it now, because I'm more than happy to do it right now.
Oh, okay. No, I'll table it.
Okay.
Because I think your topic was very, very interesting, and mine would take away from it.
I don't know about that, but we'll table it for the next one. I'll write it down after this. But yeah, I think even though this conversation started with Sora AI, the video text to video, I think we are going to see a heavy influx of innovation, but also chaos with AI, especially now that it's election period. We've got the election coming up, and video, text to video AI just became available at a rate that is believable to anyone over the age of 50. You know what I mean? So
we have to be able to challenge what we see.
We have to, well, everyone should always be skeptical. Always. That's a thing that we should always do, but a respectful level of skepticism, right? Because I think some people like to be disrespectful and problematic with it, but I think we should always be skeptical of everything. We should always want evidence or some form of proof, however that is. But yeah,
I just want to get back to something you said.
Okay,
I've watched Walking Dead. Now they're going to have, I think, Return to the Living Dead over. And in some episodes, you may see with the zombies, tens of thousands of zombies. There can't be tens of thousands of extras in here. That would be too costly.
No. With things like that, yeah, those are. Anytime you have a mass scale like that, absolutely. No. That's all. That's maybe not. If we're getting a super wide shot, like you're on a helicopter and we're looking down at like a field full of them, yeah. But if we are, like I haven't seen a ton of The Walking Dead. I've seen chunks of it. Like I believe they were at one point in one of the seasons, they were living in a prison and there was multiple fences as forms of protection. And they would every day like get rid of the ones on the first fence. If there's 30, 40, 50 of them, yeah, that's people. If there's that many, yeah, that could be people, or it can be, you know, the dead ones could just be dummies and then they have 10 people, right? Like 10 walkers and then like 30 dummies. Yeah, but those are all people. Anytime you get a shot, a big one of 100 plus, yeah, it's probably a mixture of people and CGI, or all CGI.
Yeah, and a lot of these Chinese movies where you see them fighting, one army comes, coming against the other army, and you see, or Alexander the Great,
or like a lot of the Bollywood movies, like RRR is one of the Bollywood movies. I think you told me you wanted me to see that one too.
Yeah, that was great.
Right, but like there's a lot of AI in those as well. CGI. Sorry, there's a lot of CGI in those as well. Because how are you? You're telling me that they filmed on a castle with 5,000 people all fighting at the same time? No. It's anything beyond like 30 feet around the guy, that's probably CGI.
Yeah. You know, like when you have two armies coming together.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't know, we're outnumbered 10 to 1. We only have 10,000 men. They got 100,000.
Right. Like you didn't go out into a field in Arizona and film this. Like Lord of the Rings, right? Every time there's an orc fight, they don't have 5,000 people dressed as orcs. When they got the close-up of the five that are snarling and drooling, those are people. But the army running, you know, at the gates of Mordor, when the whole team is getting surrounded by thousands of orcs, like hell, that's all people. You know what I mean? You can even
like
see
in the 300, you know.
Yeah, no, that too. But like, even in Lord of the Rings, that final moment where Aragorn is holding his sword and he says, whatever he says, his one-liner before he rushes in to fight the orcs, you can look at it. It's so old that you can, unless you see, I guess, an updated version, you can see the green screen behind him. You can physically see him and his hair flowing And then the orc army behind him, you can tell that this is like being projected on a screen because the lighting doesn't match. They gave him this soft lighting with some wind, and it's supposed to look dramatic, but it just doesn't look in place. It doesn't work. So you could very, very clearly see that he's just standing in front of a green screen. So, yeah, absolutely always, CGI.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with AI, but I always get amused when I see them reaching for arrows and they never run out of arrows.
Oh, they're shooting. Yeah, that's a little that's not just with arrows. That's with any weapon ever. That's how you can tell. Lord of the Rings is an exception because that comes from a novel and the visual, and it's a very good set of films with some small technical issues like those. But there's a lot of films, action-based films, that get that wrong or simply just don't know what to do with that, where they have a gun, they have a bow and arrow, they have a crossbow, where they just never run out of ammo or they never reload. How all of the Jason Bourne films, all the Bourne Ultimatum films, all of those, he never reloads. Never. All of the Tom Cruise films where he's got a weapon, tell me once where he reloads.
Well, there are certain guns that have carried big loads.
Doesn't well, but no, but that doesn't mean crap. The amount of action movies that I have seen where they're in a shootout, like it's two cars or on a motorcycle in a car, and he's got a pistol, and he has fired maybe 40 bullets. Those pistols hold max like 12. And he's fired 40 of them without reloading. Yeah. And the only time he reloads is the moment when he reloads, that's when something happens. And it's like, oh my God. That's why John Wick was such a jarring and, in my opinion, successful movie, because they quite literally made entire scenes based on him running out of ammo. There was like, I remember, I think it was from the third film, might've been the second one.
Yeah, he had to reload.
Well, he does throughout all the films, but I remember a specific scene, I think it was in the second one, where he's just fighting waves of guys and they all have pistols and they'll fire a couple of them and he kills one, picks up his gun and uses the remaining stuff in it. And then he's got to disarm the guy who's about 20 feet in front of him. So he flings the gun at his face, knocks him out, beats him up, takes his gun, and then fires at the next couple of guys. And he's literally throwing his physical guns at people because he's got nothing else to do. Or he's got two bullets left and he lands it. And then, or he uses the bullets to close the gap and then beat up on the guy, right? Like, that's realistic, or that feels more realistic, and it's more entertaining than watching someone fire 50 bullets out of a pistol.
Being you brought up AI, there's going to be a new series on TV coming up shortly called Shogun. And I really want to see what they do with that, because there's so much they could do with AI with Shogun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how AI is implemented in terms of workflow. Like I was saying earlier, that workflow will give them the capacity to make cooler or things that may have cost them when they were, it may have cost them more because it would have taken time to build. They can do it at a faster rate. Hopefully it's licensed and properly paid for and not stolen work, but nonetheless, there will be a lot of cool stuff to come out of it.
Well, as I get older, hopefully, if I still have my senses, you'll have to adapt me to as much as possible.
Absolutely. The one thing I will say to close out the AI topic is, now that Sora is out, we need to retire every single judge over the age of 55.
You're right.
Every single judge, I would argue over the age of 50, but I'm going to be generous here and say over the age of 55, every single judge needs to retire, because I promise you a 70 something year old judge is not going to be able to comprehend if someone's in court and says this is AI generated, because they're going to go, I'm looking at it with my eyes. It's as real as day.
Yes, that's you. You have that bank.
Right. For the love of everything that is good and right in this world, whether it is by choice or by force, retire every judge that is over the age of 55, please. Because very soon, there are going to be people who are going to make AI videos of people doing heinous crimes, and people are going to go to jail for these crimes that they never committed.
Okay, good way to end.
Peace out. Have Peace a good out. Rest of your day.
Yes, everybody. Be well, safe.
Goodbye.